A few years ago, a crack team of marine biologists decided they would do an experiment to highlight the importance of parrotfish, which are known as the lawnmowers of the ocean because they eat algae at such a voracious rate when it threatens coral reefs. So they created this huge open cage and packed it full of algae and set all these cameras aside so they could film this feeding frenzy of parrotfish. They thought this great huge mass of algae would bring parrotfish like swimsuit models to a salad bar. But in fact, nothing happened. No parrotfish appeared. And yet, to their amazement, the algae seemed to be thinning on its own. And finally, they studied the cameras and realized that while no parrotfish were coming to eat the algae, these little bitty black fish called batfish were there eating it. And yet, though they studied the film time after time, they could never find pictures of the batfish eating the algae. It's kind of like that Far Side cartoon where the cows are standing on their two legs talking until a car comes by and they get back down on all fours. The scientist realized that the coral reef was far more sophisticated, far more complex than they had imagined. They discovered that when algae reaches disastrous levels, the parrotfish don't eat it. Rather, the batfish are triggered to come in and remove the excess algae, and then when it gets to a normal level, then the parrotfish come and restore balance so the coral reef can thrive. Now, what do parrotfish and batfish and algae and coral have to do with an early Christian evangelist who is almost stoned to death? The answer is both exhibit extraordinary powers of resilience. And the best modern minds of our age are keenly interested in the nature of resilience. Why? Because 100 years ago, at the start of the 20th century, our best and brightest minds were sure that the proliferation of scientific knowledge, the advance in technology, would enable the human community to solve all of its problems. As technology became more sophisticated, as knowledge proliferated, we'd be able to solve problems before they even arose. After 100 years, believing the vanity that our knowledge and technology would eliminate problems, our best and brightest minds realized that's never going to be the case. Our world is inherently chaotic, unstable, unpredictable, uncontrollable. In a theological word, our world is fallen. And to ask the question, how do we eliminate chaos, is the wrong question. The real question is, once chaos has been created, how do we respond? How do we get back off the mat when the unpredictability of the world has put us down? In a very short few verses, the Bible gives us a picture of resiliency. Paul and Barnabas have been preaching the gospel
in the various cities of Galatia, in Antioch of Pisidium, in Iconium. But they are hounded out of those cities by Jews and Gentiles who believe that their proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord is illegal and blasphemous. They go to Lystra, where Paul creates a sensation instantly by healing a man who has been impaired since birth. And the crowd hails him and Barnabas as Hermes and Zeus come to earth. Horrified, the apostles assure them that they are nothing more than servants of the God of Jesus Christ. But the rabble from Lystra and Antioch come, persuade people that Paul is a dangerous man. They throw him into a pit, they pelt him with stones, and they leave him a bloody mess. So bloodied and broken that they are sure he is dead, and they drag his corpse out of the city and throw him in the dust, leaving him for the buzzards. But when his fellow believers gather around him, expecting to collect his corpse, Paul rises from the dust, broken and bloodied, and goes right back into the city from which he was expelled. And the next morning, this original Energizer Bunny gets up from his bed and accompanies Barnabas to Derbe. Probably with a few broken bones, with every step painful, every breath labored, probably a little anemic from loss of blood, but not silenced, not stopped. He rises from the dust to preach again, knowing that you aren't beaten until you quit. What powers allowed Paul to rise from that dust, broken and bloody but unbowed? The first was the fact he had already anticipated the kind of negativity he would have to face. After all, he participated in the stoning of Stephen. He persecuted the Christians. He knew and he accepted the call to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He knew what kind of persecution he would face. To ask the question, how do I preach in such a way as to avoid scourgings and stonings, that was the wrong question. The real question was, how do I respond to the scourgings and stonings, because those are a part of the job? And his answer was, as long as I trust God to give me strength, whatever the situation, I can rise from the dust. I'm not beaten until I quit. I think of an old commercial. Guy sitting at his breakfast table, and they send in to him all the people that are going to ruin his day. A lady comes and says, yep, I run the toll booth. You're going to get there, not enough change. A truck driver says, yeah, a bag of nails is going to fall off my truck and give you a flat tire. And on these people come telling him all the horrible things that are going to happen to him. And he sits there in perfect equanimity and says, well, it's a good thing I'm drinking my orange juice. For Paul, having anticipated what the misery he would face, it was a good thing he was daily drinking in the power of Christ. What allowed Paul to rise from the dust? Secondly, it was his extraordinary confidence that whatever he faced in life, God would give him the strength to bear it. When you see him rising bloody and broken from the dust, you can't help but think of those words he wrote in Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is Christ Jesus, who was crucified, who was raised, who intercedes for us. What can separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, famine, persecution, peril, sword? No. In all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, and I am persuaded that not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not height, not depth, not things present, not things to come, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ my Lord. Wow. When you have that kind of confidence, whatever adversity comes your way, you're not cut off from your source of spiritual strength. What enabled Paul to rise from the dust? Part of it was his powers of prayer, his ability for meditation and contemplation. You wait a second, preacher, I believe in prayer. But when people are throwing rocks at your head, when they're breaking your bones with sticks and stones, how's prayer going to do any good? My answer is, when you have highly developed powers of prayer, when contemplation and meditation are a part of your daily routine, you are able to appropriate positive strength and demonstrate resilience that other people cannot. That's not just a theologian talking. That's scientists. Scientists have been doing research in people's brains, and they found that people with powers of meditation and contemplation have more highly developed ability to receive positive stimulation and respond. Christian and Buddhist monks, for whom prayer and meditation are a part of their day, their brains are more highly developed to receive positive stimulation. But that's even true of lay people who make prayer and meditation a daily part of their routine. Paul had such powers of meditation that he even claims of a mystical experience where he was lifted up by the Spirit into the third heaven and he heard things that could not be told. Experiencing the presence and power and affirmation and assurance of God, his powers of prayer allowed him to access power and rise from the dust. Fourth, Paul was able to rise from the dust because he drew strength from the community. His enemies dragged him out of the city because they thought he was dead. But when his friends gathered around him, he gained strength from them. He realized he was not alone. He was not in this by himself. A community bound his wounds, cleaned his injuries, and let him know he was a part of family. Scientists have done a study of people who've undergone serious surgery. And they found that people who are part of a faith community heal from that surgery much faster than those who are just alone. We draw strength from each other. Paul rose from the dust because he knew that by the power of God, he was an instrument in a movement that was bringing the world to a new normal. And that gave him hope. A new normal. What do I mean? Some years ago, one of my friends brought a new girlfriend on one of our river rafting trips, and she asked me, Now, does the river bring us back to where we started? And I said to her, this is not Six Flags. This is not an amusement park. This is a river, and rivers carry you downstream to new vistas. Life carries us downstream to break new thresholds, to a new normal. The people who stoned Paul were trying to preserve the status quo, but he knew he was part of a movement that was moving history forward. Sometimes you and I are among those who would like to just stop the world, to go back to an era where we understood things, we were comfortable. But that is not life. Life is carrying us constantly downriver to a new normal. And even if we don't like a world run by computers and smartphones and the interconnectedness of the globe, that's the world we live in. And we have to draw hope from the fact that our God will sustain us even as we move into a new normal. Finally, what lifted Paul from the dust was the fact he heard the upward call of Christ. From that very first moment when he heard the voice of Christ say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me on the road to Damascus? Paul heard the upward call of Christ. And that upward call could never allow him to be complacent. It was a call that kept pulling him beyond himself to greater plateaus of achievement and openness to God's leading. We ask people to come down this aisle to claim Christ as Savior. We call our young people forward to make their profession of faith and be baptized, but it's not for the moment. The upward call of Christ is calling them to a pilgrimage, and that upward call they will hear for the rest of their days. But it brings also the power of resilience. Even when life beats us down, and there are times in every life when circumstances beat us down. There are times when our cross seems too heavy, our pain too great. There are times when we just want to say, I quit. I'm too frustrated. I've lost too much. I failed too often. Nothing seems to work. I quit. But our Lord's voice comes to us and says, you aren't beaten until you quit. I think of a Dear Abby letter I ran across years ago. A man wrote Dear Abby cataloging all of the ways he had failed in life. And he said, I'm 40 years old. And now I want to go to law school. But even if I get in law school, I'll be 41. And by the time I get out of law school, I'll be 44. 44 is too old to start a new life. And Dear Abby wrote back one sentence. How old will you be in 4 years if you don't go to law school? If you can anticipate some of the conflict, you'll engage in answering the call of Christ. If you can draw from the confidence that nothing can separate you from God's strength, If you can develop powers of prayer and contemplation that allow you to access spiritual strength and energy. If you can draw from the support and encouragement of a community of faith. If you can sense that God is pulling you to a new normal. And if you hear the upward call of Christ each day, then you can develop powers of resilience that even when life beats you down, you can rise from the dust because you aren't beaten until you quit. May we pray together. Lord, there are chapters of our lives that make us despair. There are moments when we think the responsibilities and the frustrations are too great for us to go on. But you are indeed a God of inexhaustible power and strength. Call us afresh to courage and to commitment. That may we tap your resources of spiritual resilience and rise from the dust. In the name of the Christ we pray, amen.